Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of the Matzah on Pesach. On the night of the Seder, we start off with the words, the famous words, Ha Lachma Anya. You say, this is the bread of affliction.
Sing it.
This is the bread of affliction, the achalu of hatana be'arade Mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. So when we open up the Seder, we refer to the matzah as the bread that we ate as slaves in Egypt. So it seems from that statement that the matzot represent slavery. We've been talking about the matzah being the bread of freedom. Avraham Avinu ate the matzah. It's called the bread of emunah, the Zohar says. But when we open up the Seder, it seems like a whole different story. We point to the matzah and we say, this is the matzah that we ate when we were slaves in Egypt. It almost feels like the matzah is in the same category as the maror, the bitter times. Right, but why do we call it the bread of freedom? We've been talking about it, but it seems to be against the beginning of the Seder. So we start the Seder describing the matzah as the bread of slavery. It seems, it makes sense that slaves would eat matzot. Slaves in Egypt, especially Am Yisrael, they had a tremendous quota to fill. And when you have a lot to fill, you don't have time for luxury and to wait for your dough to rise and eat it in the normal way. So as slaves, they had to move. So they take the dough, and as soon as they could bake it, they baked it. They didn't have time to let it rise. So that's why slaves, they eat matzot. So why is it that later on in the Haggadah, we talk about how Hashem, at the time of the salvation, He rushed us out of Egypt, and He didn't give our dough the time to rise. That was also done b'hashgacha. Hashem was mashgiach. Hashem could have slowed down the process a little bit to allow the Jewish people to have bread. In fact, from the Pasuk, it sounds like that they wanted to have bread. Because the Pasuk says that the reason why they had matzah is because there was no time. Tigoreshu mimitzrayim, that they were thrown out of Egypt, right? And there was no time to waste. They were being rushed out. Sounds like if you would ask them at the time, would you like to have bread? They would say yes. But the situation didn't allow it. So that's why we eat the matzah as a reminder of the freedom of the Jewish people. When we left Egypt, we ate matzot. But we start the Haggadah and say that we ate matzot when we were slaves. So which one is it? Is the matzah the bread of slavery or is the matzah the bread of freedom? It's a very important question. So this is very relevant. The answer to this question is very relevant to every single one of us. When Am Yisrael was leaving Mitzrayim, you could just imagine they've been eating matzot for who knows how long out of necessity because they had no time for themselves. Now they're going free. What's the first thing they're dreaming about? They finally can eat bread. They have the time, they have the luxury to let it rise and eat it tastier, enjoying it. What does Hashem do? He tells them, you need matzah. What happened? Well, the olam, we became free men. We have now the luxury to eat hametz. Why did you make it that as we leave Mitzrayim,
You brought us back to the same bread of slavery that we were eating in Egypt. Aren't we free men?
And here the creator of the world teaches the Jewish people and teaches us the danger of freedom. The danger of freedom is when a person feels there's a lot of free time on his hand. A slave, the mentality of a slave, especially in Egypt, where there was so much to do and not enough time to do it, is that the work was overwhelming and there's not enough time to finish it. So therefore, there was no time to waste. Just like when a person in our world today, if you have to finish something, you have a deadline. You got to get something done. Whatever it might be. Something financial or something that you have to get done in your family or something you have to get done with doctors, whatever it might be. If there's a deadline, if there is a deadline and you need to get something done urgently, so you don't spend time wasting. You don't have time to waste. It's the nature of a person is when they have something to do and not enough time, it's within the nature of the person. They somehow figure out the priorities and figure out how to spend their time in the most effective way. You'll see them eating quicker. You don't see them having an hour, 2 hour lunches. You don't have them doing things that are basically called a waste of time. Why? Because the urgency of time is felt by the need to get something done. That's the way a slave lives. A slave in Egypt, with all of what they had to do, there was no time to waste. But when they became free, now when a person has more revah, what does revah mean? Space. When a person has lahatz, lahatz means pressure. When there's pressure, so that makes you focus on getting the priorities of life done to get to the goal. But when there's revah, like we want revah, revah vehatzala ya'amod le'yehudim mimakom aher. Revah is a beautiful thing. Revah means you have space. You don't have the burden, the pressure of the Egyptian on top of your head to do A and B. Now that you have revah, it's beautiful to have revah, but there's a danger to have revah. The danger of revah is that you feel less urgency in the time that you have in this world. You feel, now I could take it easy. Now I don't have to work as hard. I don't have to do as much because I don't have the Egyptian with his whip on top of me. Hashem, the first message Hashem sent our people when we became free is that the slavery in Egypt was there to teach you to become a slave. The slavery in Egypt was not an unfortunate event in our history. The slavery of Egypt was a necessary preparation to become slaves. The greatness of the Jewish people for the last 3,000 years, especially in the last 2,000 of Galut, with our back constantly being chased by others from place to place, and the amount that this nation has accomplished, it's impossible to imagine how Am Yisrael was able to accomplish all of what we have accomplished with so much pressure and so much uneasiness and so much doubt. How? Our greatness was formed in Egypt. When we look at Egypt, we don't look at Egypt as a place that was an unfortunate
event in our history. Hashem told Avraham Avinu they're going to go there and they're going to develop their ability and capability to become the great nation that will receive the Torah. To be a slave to Paro is not a great thing, because you don't have your own free choice, because you're working for an evil man, because you're doing senseless work. That's not a great thing. But if you could take the slavery that you were trained by Paro. Paro was a ruthless man. He was a murderer of young children. Paro was not a person of rahmanut. He was not a person of compassion. He didn't walk around and see his slave and say, how you guys doing? Like an employer will go around his factory and see, give a few guys a pat on the back, give them maybe a little break, give them take a day off. I know you haven't seen your family in a while. That's not Paro. Paro is a ruthless, evil person. He took his slaves to the max. Hashem put us in the hands of that man. That's not a great thing. But the training that came out of that for the Jewish nation, not just an individual, each person, and not just for a day, not just for a week, for years, that training of behaving like a slave, if you could take that and now you can voluntarily use those energies to serve the creator of the world, now you became a great nation. If you could take the avdut, if you could take the tools of slavery, Mitzrayim was a very big part of our greatness as a nation. Don't ever forget that. It wasn't randomly we were thrown to Egypt. It was Kur HaBarzel. It was the hot iron furnace that made the great soul of the Jewish people. We have inside of us right now, we have still the DNA of the work and the slavery of Mitzrayim. Whatever our forefathers went through became a part of our DNA. It doesn't mean we're going to use it. It just means it's there. It's ready for use. And that is why the Jewish nation has accomplished per person way more than anyone could imagine a human being can accomplish, because of our training in Mitzrayim. So just as Am Yisrael was ready and excited to give a little more time for their dough to rise, because now they had less to worry about. They didn't have a quota to fill. Specifically at that moment, the Creator says, no, you're making a mistake. This is not freedom to relax. This is freedom to work in a more effective way. Your work in Paro's country was a great work habit. It just was focused on the wrong things, on meaningless things. But now you could take all that energy and focus it on beautiful things. But don't make a mistake to think that freedom is a time to let your energies relax and to let time pass you. That is not what freedom is. So therefore, the Creator says, the lahma anya, the bread that you ate in Egypt, the reason why you ate that bread the way you ate it is because you had no time, because there was so much to do. That same bread, you're going to eat when you leave Egypt. Because when you have freedom, it turns you into a great person, not a slave of Paro. You become a truly great man by being a slave of the Creator. And you need to know that the quota, how much you can accomplish in this world, how much you have to do. Hamelacha meruba, the Mishnah says. The work is so much. We have so much to accomplish. There's so much to gain. It's not work like hard work in the sense like a person is putting bricks. The work is to gather. It's like working to gather diamonds from a huge mountain of diamonds. It's a lot of work. But the work is all coming for your own wealth. It's coming for your own success. It's coming for your own happiness. It's coming for your own children. It's coming for Olam Hazeh. It's coming for Olam Haba. There's so much to gather in this world. Therefore, the first message to the free men that left Egypt, the first message is your slavery was a practice for the real slavery. You're still slaves. No more Paro. Now you're slaves of the Creator. Now some people might be very disappointed in that. If all we did is exchange masters. It's a pasuk, by the way. We call Paro Shalach Ami Ve'yavduni. We told Paro, send my nation free so they can be my slaves. Most people, they forget the last word. They just think about Shalach Ami. Let my people go. There were books written about that. Let my people go. But they forgot what the second part of the statement. They didn't finish the sentence. Let my people go and become my slaves. That's what it says. Not let my people go. So some people might be very disappointed when they hear that in reality, the independence of the Jewish people was just an exchange of masters. We went from Paro, we went to Hashem. And the truth is, it's somewhat disappointing because the slavery that is expected to Hashem is way greater than the slavery to Paro. At the end of the day, Paro, okay, he controlled our work, our time, but that was pretty much it. Hashem, the master called the creator of the world. What is there in life that isn't controlled by him? You can't put something in your mouth before you have to think, is it kosher? What's called kosher? You know how many rules there are in kosher? Today, kosher is just a symbol on the veil. But in reality, kashrut is a huge subject. So to know if what I'm eating is kosher, to know what beracha I'm supposed to make, how much I'm supposed to eat, to know how much I ate and how much beracha harona. Just eating, putting something in your mouth requires a whole section of thousands of pages of Shulchan Aruch and Gemara and Poskim just to put one piece of food in your mouth. What to eat, what not to eat, how much to eat, when not to eat, who to marry, what you could do when you get married, how to date, when to date. You tell me a subject. Is there anything that a person does? How to walk. Shulchan Aruch says that you have to know how to walk. Can't just walk. Person can't walk with his head up. You have to know how to walk. You have to know how to tie your shoelace. You have to know how to get dressed. You have to know how to wake up. You have to know how to go to sleep. There is nothing. If we live life like a complete Jew, if we lived an authentic Jewish life, there's nothing that we would do that would be out of the context of slavery to the Creator. The Creator has something to say about everything that you do in life. You have a free minute? He has something to say about that. You have an issue? He has something to say about that. And that's only our time. If you went back a few thousand years when they were practicing the laws of Tum'ah, the laws of purity, you can't imagine how life was governed every second, because any vessel that was touched by a tameh person became tameh. if it came in contact with a dead body, or it was in the same room, you have to know. Each item that you're eating from, you have to know. Who touched it? Where was it? You can't just pick up a plate and start eating it. You can't pick up a fork and start using it. There's rules of tum'ah and tahara. You have no idea how much more work that would add to our decision-making. Simple thing. You can't even sit on the couch before you know who else sat on it. Because maybe someone sat on it that was tameh. All kinds of tum'ah. There's nida tum'ah, there's zab, there's sarah, there's all kinds of tum'ah. You have to know who sat on this chair. I can just sit on it. Every decision that you made, you had to think about, is this pure or not pure? Today, that whole section pretty much is not relevant. The only thing we have, Kohanim, they have to make sure they don't go to the cemetery. That's the whole tum'ah and tahara nowadays. But in those days, every person, especially Kohanim, but even every person, had to be careful. So you took the slavery of Paro on a scale of 1 to 100, maybe it was a 10, and you want to become slaves of the Creator. He's like 100. He's controlling every movement of your life, controlling your ears, controlling your eyes, what you could look at, what you can't look at, what you could listen to, what you can't listen to. Why do we call this the holiday of independence? You know, it's one thing to say that I'm happy to be Hashem's slave. It's nice. I like to be the slave of the Creator. But to call it Zeman Herutenu seems to be very, very inappropriate. To call Pesach the time of our freedom, it's certainly not a time of freedom. We exchanged a master that was taking away our freedom on a 10% level, and we took on a master at 100% level. Why would that be called freedom? You want to enjoy the holiday? No problem. You want to celebrate that now you are the slaves of God? No problem. But to call it Zeman Herutenu seems to be like it's a joke. This is the time when our people went free. And that's why many people, because of these words, have a misunderstanding of what the holiday of Pesach is. And we became free people. We did not become free people. We became bigger slaves. And that's what the matzah represents. The bread of slavery and the bread of freedom was the same bread, because we stayed slaves. So how do we understand that? Why is it called Zeman Herutenu? Like I said, to be proud to be a servant of Hashem, that doesn't bother us. You want to celebrate, you should call it Zeman Avdutenu Lashem. No problem. But that we should say Zeman Herutenu seems to be not the right words. It's not a proper description of what's happening. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot that when Hashem gave us the Torah, when He gave us the Luchot, the tablets, so the Pasuk says that the Torah, the words of the Torah, were Harut ala Luchot.
Great.
Harut is engraved. They were miraculously engraved. We're not going to get into that right now. But they were engraved. They weren't written with ink. They were engraved in the stone. Harut. So comes Hachamim, Hazal, tell us that the word Harut, even though it means engraved, but it also hints or is trying to express another important idea. They say, don't read it Harut. Take the same letters and instead of Ha, put He. put it sere. Herut. Herut. Same word, same letters, just different nekudot. Don't read it harut. Read it herut. Read it freedom. Interested. So now the Hachamim are doubling down. Not only is the holiday called the time of freedom, Zeman Herutenu, but it's also now they're saying the Torah, which basically governs all of our actions and makes us slaves 100%, they're calling the Torah Herut. And then they triple them. And they say the following. En lecha ben horim. There is no such person that's free. Ela mi she'osek ba-Torah. Someone who's busy in Torah, is learning the Torah, is fulfilling the mitzvot of the Torah. If you're not osek ba-Torah, if your life is not a Torah life, then you're not a free person. There's only one person that's free. The one who's Osek BaTorah. That's called tripling them. You took a document that enslaves every movement of the person. And not only did you call it freedom, you went out so far to say that without it, nobody could be called free. You could only be free with it. Very hard to understand. I already described to you what true freedom is. And this is a mistake that definitely many people make in life. The true freedom is not the way the Western society understands freedom. And that's, you know, in the days when people didn't have freedom, perhaps it was easier to understand the freedom of the Torah. But today's world, freedom is such a discussed subject. Democracy, freedom, the land of the free. We have so much information and we're living with freedom, the way the world describes it, that automatically we have a misunderstanding of what real freedom is. You see, in the Western world, freedom means I can do pretty much what I want. The more I have somebody dictating to me what I need to do, the less free I am. Freedom of speech means I could say whatever I want. I could act the way I want. I could whatever I want. That's called freedom. When you take away somebody's rights, that's called you're not living in a free country. This understanding of freedom is exactly opposite of the Torah. So today, if you say to a young man, tell me what's called success. Tell me how to measure success. In his mind, without even telling you, automatically comes a life where they don't have to do much. What's called success? When I could retire early, meaning I don't have to work. And even if I work, I can come whenever I want. I can go travel wherever I want, whenever I want. I have the luxury of just sitting around, taking it easy, being entertained. This is what the average young person, young doesn't mean to exclude old, but it means for sure every young person has this mindset that my success in life is a life of freedom. Today I have problems.
Today I have my mother on top of me. Ask the young person, what's your issues right now? My father, my mother, they tell me what to do. They tell me where to go. They make me go to sleep. They make me come home. They make me do this. They make me work. I have to go to the office. I have a boss. Tells me what to do. I got to be in certain places at certain times. I got all these people controlling my life. One day, I'm going to be a free man where no one's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to be my own house. I'm in my own boss. I'll do whatever I want, whenever I want it, free. This is the American dream, where you become a free person, where nobody tells you what to do, nobody tells you where to be. Complete freedom, beautiful. This is the American dream. However, this dream produces many terrible results. This dream produces lazy people. This dream produces unaccomplished people. This dream produces tons of averot, tons of sins. It produces a tremendous amount of addictions to alcohol, to drugs, to gambling. This is the recipe for gambling. Today we have a very big problem in our society, and our circles is not exempt from this problem. Gambling is a serious issue. Perhaps more serious than alcohol and drugs. And that's not such easy issues either, by the way. But gambling is a major issue. Everybody has access to gamble wherever they are. In their pocket, they have the access. It's a major problem. It's very enticing. Who has time to gamble? Who has time now to gamble on different things in life? People who are free. People have nothing to do. They need to look for things to do. What life excitement can come to a person if they have nothing to do? So they have to create something to do. One of the excitement that can be created is gambling. Now all of a sudden, I'm excited about today. Why are you excited? Because I want to see if I'm going to win money. I can't wait for the game so that I don't care who wins. Used to be people who used to watch because they loved their team. I'm not saying that's like a great thing to strive for. It's for steel. But at least it's authentic. You have a team. You're connected to your team. You have an attachment to them. You follow them. You watch the game from beginning to end. You see the process. Again, I'm not saying that's a very elevated way of living life, but it's got some sort of meaning to it. But today, people don't watch the game. They don't care about the team. They got money on the game. All they care about is who's winning and who's losing. That's going to make a difference to their pocket. So there's no more authenticity even in following sports. Gambling is a very serious issue in our world. It's destroying young people. You should know that in a certain way, gambling is worse than alcohol and worse than drugs. In a certain way, it's worse. Because when a person is in the gambling mode, their mind is checked out 24/7. Can't even talk to them. At least when the guy is drinking, maybe when he's not drinking, you talk to him. I'm not saying that drinking is good either, by the way. Don't make a mistake. Destructive. But even with all the destruction of drinking, gambling is worse. Because the person's mind is checked out. They can't work. They can't focus. They can't do anything that's meaningful because their mind is elsewhere. Their excitement and their worry and their concern is in a different place 24/7. Where does that come from? My grandpa wasn't a gambler.
My grandmother wasn't a gambler. My great-grandpa wasn't a gambler. And neither was yours. To be a gambler in those days, you had to go and you had to look for places where you're going to gamble. Today, because we live in the land of the free, people find themselves with a lot of free time. They have nothing to do. You can't live life with nothing to do. You got to create things to do. And when you create things to do, very often those things are not good for you. And gambling is one of those things that creates excitement in a person's life. That's called freedom. So the dream of the Western world is to live a life without anybody telling you what to do, where you're completely free to choose whatever you like and do whatever you want every day of the week. This freedom produces slaves. It produces gamblers. It produces alcoholics. It produces angry people. It produces every kind of slavery that a human can come up with, whether it's mental or emotional or physical. That's what happens. Because a human wasn't created to sit around and do nothing. Asher bara Elohim la'asot. You have to know, a human was created to accomplish. A human was created to do. A human was created to make things. We're not created to sit around. So when we sit around, we start looking for things to do. And those things are usually not good for us, and they make us sick and not happy and not successful. So the freedom of this country, what is it producing? It's producing addicts, a lot of unhappy people. Today, everyone needs a psychologist and a psychiatrist. Medicine is definitely a place to invest in. You don't have to gamble to invest in medicine tonight. Any medicine, any drug that comes out that helps people's mind and makes them less depressed, it's a good investment. Buy it. Buy the stocks. No tariffs on those. Any drug that comes out today is a worthwhile investment. There's a lot of people out there that need a lot of help. Way more. You ask a doctor today, that was a doctor 50 years ago, tell him to compare what people were mentally 50 years ago till today. Shamayim, people just go to the doctor because they broke their arm. They're hurting somewhere, somewhere physically. Today, most people go to the doctor because they're sick in the head. Why? Because they live in the land of the free. And they have nothing to do in life. And they take on things to do. And the things they take on to do are not healthy for them. That's it. Simple. That's not the world is not so complicated to understand. So the freedom of this world is producing slaves on every level. Slaves to society. Slaves to honor. People are trying to show each other off. Oh, I'm better than you. I could drive a nicer car than you. I have a better dress than you do. That's what. Where is that created? People used to wear nice things to look nice because out of respect to themselves. Where did the competition come? Well, now, no, I'm going to dress better than you. It became a symbol, a status, because people are bored. When people are bored, they make themselves sick and they become slaves. And that was the first message Hashem sent to Jewish people. You think you're going free. You think now is the freedom to relax. You want to make chametz now? You want to sit down and wait 20 minutes for your bread to rise? You got the wrong message, sir. You got to continue making matzot. You got to work. You got to work smarter now. Work smarter. Work better. But you got to continue the same work that you put in before. Put it now in something else. To be a servant of Hashem is the only freedom there is in life. Why? Because when a person is free, when a person is a slave, slavery to people is not called freedom. Because slavery to people, the goal of the slave is the person that he's serving. The person who he's serving needs people to work, so he's going to do it for him. He needs whatever he needs, and you're going to be the slave. So the purpose of a slave to Paro is Paro. Who's benefiting from that slavery? Paro. I'm working for Paro. What's Paro's goal in being my master? To get as much out of me for himself as possible. That's what slavery is, and that's why it's so terrible. Because your whole life you're working for somebody else. But a slave to Hashem is very different. Even though we use the same words, but they're very different. Because Hashem doesn't need us. What slaves does he need? What can we give him that he doesn't have? He doesn't need slaves. So, what does it mean to be a servant of Hashem? Why does Hashem need our service? He doesn't. But Hashem's mastery is that his entire concern is us. Lehavdil, if I can compare it on a secular level, lehavdil, just for a mashal, it's like having a great coach. A great coach, if you play for a great coach, that's a very big privilege to subjugate yourself and to be under his command. When you go to a great coach and you want to be on his team and you commit yourself to be under his wings, that's a great privilege for you. Why? Because a great coach, his goal is that you should become a better player. His goal is that your team should become a better team. A great coach is not in it for himself. A great coach is in it for you. So when you say, "Coach, I'm under your guidance. You tell me, I'm closing my eyes. Tell me what I have to do on the court. Don't tell me what I have to do in life." You're not so good at that. That's not what a coach is supposed to be doing. And even life coaches, you got to be careful exactly who you put your life into. The real life coach is called the Torah. That's a life coach. Like the Rambam says, person needs help, you should go to the Hachamim, go to the wise people that are the doctors of the soul. That's what life coaches are. You don't need a life coach more than the Torah. Take the Torah and it is your life coach. But in basketball, you tell, listen, in the world of basketball, you're my coach. You're the man. You tell me. Tell me to jump, I jump. You tell me to kneel down, whatever you tell me. Use my left hand, I'll do it. Whatever you say. That's not called slavery of the coach. That's called the coach giving you freedom. Because his goal is not for himself. His goal is to turn around your commitment to him and turn you into a great player. The creator of the world, he has no self-interest in this relationship of slave-master. He gets nothing out of it except seeing us being successful, happy, great, accomplished people. He takes the slavery that we're committed to him and he says, I'm going to take that and I'm going to shape you into this unbelievable person. You know how many people in the world want to be happy all the time? They want to be sameach all the time? Everybody wants to be sameach all the time, but they can't do it. Why? Because they don't have a coach to teach them how to be happy in life. You know how many people get married and want to have an awesome marriage, all the time, everybody, every single person. But it's not the reality. Why? Because they don't know how to do it. How many people want to raise great children? Everybody. But the reality is, they don't. Why? Because they don't know how to do it. And that's just a few examples, the endless examples. How many things we would love. I would love to be a calm person. Love to be calm. Oh, I would love to be calm. So great, so do it. I can. I don't know how. I get nervous. It's who I am. Exactly. That's why you need a coach. You need someone to guide you through life. You need someone to teach you. You need to be under the wings of the Creator. That's why the Mishnah says, Harut. It's engraved. Engraved in the Luchot. Hashem's freedom is not an external freedom. It's not a freedom where people talk about it. Oh, I'm free from this. I'm free from that. It's a freedom that's from within. It's harut al aluchot. The freedom of Hashem is the freedom that's sitting inside your brain. It's the freedom that's sitting inside your heart. It's the freedom of controlling your happiness. It's the freedom of being a person who has peace of mind. That's the real freedom. Al tikra harut. Don't read it harut. Read it herut. The freedom that Hashem gives us through the Torah. That's why it's not called Hofshi. Hofshi also means freedom. Hofesh. We have vacation. Hofesh, freedom. No, no. It's not Zeman. Hofesh means that a person has nothing to do. Herutenu is not Hofesh. Herutenu is a time where we take on a master of the highest caliber so that we could be free from the inside. We can be truly happy people and truly accomplished people and truly be able to accomplish all the things that we want. That is the true freedom. What good is a person who has free time if he doesn't know what to do with it? What good is the freedom to be able to do whatever you want to do, but you don't know how to do it? This is the message of the Matzah as we left Mitzrayim. They were ready to take their dough and wait for it to rise. Now they had time. Before they were busy, they didn't have time. Finally they went free. It's okay, now we'll let the dough rise. No. Hashem says, I'm sorry. That's not the message. You don't have time now either. The same way you didn't have time then, you don't have time now. But now you have such a more meaningful, powerful mission. Make sure you don't take it easy. Rather, focus your energies of slavery to the Creator. And that is why the Matzah is the bread of slavery. It is the bread of slavery. Yes, when we were in Egypt, it was slavery. And when we left, it was also slavery. But it's slavery to Hashem, which is called freedom. That's why it's called the bread of freedom. Fortunate are those who are committed to be the servant of Hashem and take their life and say, Hashem, tell me what you want from me. Tell me how to do this. Maybe I understand certain things. Maybe certain ones I don't understand. You know what? You're smarter than me. That much I do understand. Therefore, tell me whatever you want from me. I'm in. I'm committed. You don't want me to do that? I won't do it. You want me to eat that? I'm not eating it. You don't want me to go? I'm not doing it. I am committed. I am your servant, Hashem. That is the way we're supposed to be leaving the Seder. Supposed to be leaving, saying, I feel and I'm committed to be a full Eved Hashem. And that is Zeman Herutenu's purpose. Baruch Amar Le'olam, Amen.